All right, folks, welcome to this week's episode of The Boundless Show. Lisa Anderson here with you. And a reminder that we've got some great stuff coming up on this show. But do you know that we actually used to have four segments on this show? If you haven't heard one of those mystery segments that used to be from back in the day, you can hop back to some of our earliest shows and check that out. But in the meantime, here's what's coming up this week. For our inbox, we have a listener with some gay friends, and our listener is wondering, how can I respond when they ask if I support them? Well, our friend Jeff Johnston, who's an expert on LGBT issues, is going to weigh in with some advice on that. And then for our culture segment, Tavares and Safa Gray are back. They run Godly Dating 101, which is that popular social media channel that we've actually talked to them before on the show. And so really a great couple with a lot of great advice. We're going to do a fun Q&A with them about dating, relationships, and some other fun topics. And so you don't want to miss that. Okay, for our roundtable, you may remember, those of you who are listening to this show chronologically, that last week we talked about when friends and family pressure you to date. So what does that look like as you experience dating and you feel like everyone's like, why aren't you dating, or aren't you dating more people, or you need to get serious about dating? Well, this week we're going to talk about when it's time to take a break from dating. So that might seem a little whiplash-ish as far as like, okay, if you're not dating, maybe just stop dating altogether. Okay, well, we'll have to find out what our folks have to say. But we have got Georgia here, we have Bill, and we have Ryan. Hey, you guys.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
All right, great to have you. Now, I heard that you guys were having some discussion about this before we came into the studio and that it got quite spirited. So this is going to be fun. Bill and I have to represent some of the old school folks in this area. Some of us have taken breaks from dating multiple times and have then gone back into the fray and then back out again. So we'll have to share some of our experience and then see what Georgia and Ryan have to say as well. So this will be fun. We're going to talk about this. I think it's funny. I don't even know if like taking a break from dating used to be a thing, like our parents.
I don't
and
really remember that. I think
I feel
it
like
was
they just like got it done. And it wasn't all this drama about like angsty.
That's what we were literally saying. I do think it's this big thing, especially with Christian young women, not to call us out, but I think a lot of times we like to brag about how we're taking a break from dating, or I'm in a season where I'm just not going to date right now. I'm going to focus on me and God. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
Yeah. Is that like, I feel like I hear it from people who are taking a break from dating because really no one's asking them out.
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
That's painful.
And that is the tea, because that is so true.
Okay. Well, that's also a
different or the wrong people, quotation marks, are asking them out. And so then they're like, I'm going to take a break.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to have to get into this because now we've dissed women twice. Ladies, please hang in with us. I mean, that's Georgia and I saying that, okay? We're not blaming the guys for that. So we're calling out our own, but hopefully we'll have plenty of opportunity to mess with the men as well. But let's start out by just saying, personally, did you ever feel like you had to take a break from dating, and what did that look like?
I mean, I stopped dating right after I graduated college. Or right after I got out of high school, sorry. In college, there wasn't like a ton of options that I was like really going for. But then I ended up leaving that college to go to Bible college. And I desperately wanted to not be a ring by spring person.
Okay.
Which, looking back, was that the right decision? I mean, I think so now. But like looking back a couple of years ago, I was like, oh, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I didn't date from the age of like the end of 18 to 26.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's shocking to me because I'm like, is there a reason people go to Bible college other than to find a spouse?
Yeah, I mean, I just love Jesus.
Okay.
Oh, see, we always joked it was for women to get their MRS degree.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, or
that
just
was
a Christian college.
That was way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth that we used to say stuff like
that. I was
going to
say, I don't know if it's just a Christian college thing. I think it's a Southern college thing. Because at the University of Oklahoma, that was a big thing.
Well, yeah. In Oklahoma, they think of that as synonymous, Christian and Oklahoma and Southern and whatever. So, okay, how about you, Georgia? What are your breaks looking like?
yeah, my season of break. I'm just kidding. Sorry, not to keep roasting. Anyways, I did take a break, I think, last fall. So 2022, I did decide to take a break because I was on the dating apps and it was honestly devastating because all the men that I went on dates with were either scarier than they were on the app or just not kind. And so just made me question my worth a lot and also just put me in a weird headspace of why am I doing this? So I took a break. And for that, I just quite literally deleted them off my phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bill?
Well, I'm the odd guy out.
He's our resident married guy.
Yeah, so I've been married 29 years.
Hopefully you've taken a break recently other than dating your wife.
Yeah, just a month or so. No, actually, you guys have been talking about college, and there was a time toward the end of my time in college that girl broke up with me, and it was a tough relationship. I mean, I'll own my part in that, too, but I didn't do well with it. I really wallowed through it, and it was because of family and friends that said, come on, live, get back into life, that really helped me out. So for me, it was a lot of reflection. It wasn't, Georgia, like you said, it wasn't like I'm taking a break. It was more of the break is here. And so it kind of forced some things in a really good way, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I would say similar to Georgia, my experience of actually feeling like I was taking a break was usually after being on apps and having done a season. I mean, I remember the first time I went online and did online dating, it was like a full-time job because I decided I'm going to get my money's worth. I was actually, you know, they used to do it where they'd bring you in, you know, entice you with these like free weekends and all this kind of stuff. And then now they do a bunch of different things. But I remember thinking, I'm going to get my money's worth and like make this happen. And so I remember I gave up like TV for almost the entire time I was online because it was so exhausting because I didn't have the sense to like whittle things down. So I was just talking to people from everywhere and I didn't really have a lot of parameters and I was witnessing to guys online and it just got super crazy. And I'm not even kidding. It felt like a full-time job. And so I would get so exhausted. And then I would get in arguments. I mean, I was getting into theological things, little tiffs. And so I'm like, I don't even know if I was taking a break from dating. I was just taking a break from like conversing with people even. So got a little nutty. So those were definite seasons where I felt like I had to. I would also say my other big pauses or breaks, kind of to what Bill was saying, have been after like pretty significant breakups, you know, where I just felt like I need to pause, I need to heal, I need to learn something from this, and I need to not dive back in and be the rebound. Right. So anyway, okay. So to that point, I mean, what would you say like motivators for people taking breaks? I mean, I'm guessing that would be one of them of just like reassessing and stuff like that. But what have you heard or what have you seen in people's relationships or as they are taking a break, like good reasons for doing it, bad reasons, how it's turned out?
I think it's been mostly for good reasons. I do think with a lot of different things in the Christian culture, we put things on a pedestal. So I think sometimes taking a dating break can be put on a pedestal and can make it seem like you're more pious because you're taking a quote unquote break. But I will say for the most part, I think it's usually because, at least in my experience, when friends have gotten out of relationships and they need, you know, a moment to take a step back, reanalyze what they want out of a relationship, and or if they're like me and they've been on the apps and it's just kind of hard and you just meet a lot of men where you're like, where are the good men, you know, and then you just need a break to reassess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a great reason to take a break from dating is to have some self-reflection, some introspective time, work on yourself. A lot of people, they get into relationships just because that's something you do. And like in high school, you probably don't have a vision for your life. You probably don't have, you know, there's a lot of things you don't know. And oftentimes we go from high school straight into college, straight onto the real world. And there isn't a lot of time to pause and be introspective because there's always so much stuff that has to get done. I think a great reason to take a break from dating is to actually find out what you want out of life. A lot of people, they make lists about what they want in another person, but they don't know what they want out of their own life. And so usually those lists don't match up. So taking some time to be introspective, get rid of some immaturity, that was why I did it, and actually start to get a vision for where you're going and why, that allows you to actually find someone who will foster a positive relationship with you versus just, all right, well, that date, you know, that relationship didn't work out. Let's go ahead and jump to the next one. Let's jump to the next one. Let's see if this one works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say for me, some of it was you have to take time sometimes to catch your breath. I mean, I was in a spot where it's like, okay, I have to lay in the fetal position and slobber a little bit just to kind of realize, oh, this has been rough. Mm-hmm. But sometimes God whispers, hey, take a break. And that's a hard decision to make. But I think there are times that when God tells us things, it's not because always we want to follow that, but we need to trust that to know that he's guiding this, and I trust him in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think there are reasons. And, you know, I remember, like I alluded to, going through a couple really bad breakups and ones where I realized, I mean, there are a couple breakups I went through where I actually did some counseling in the wake of those. And yeah. I feel like that's a, you know, we can talk here in a little bit about productive ways to use a time of being on a break. But what do you think, something that came to mind here is I know people who have been on dating breaks because something they're involved in has asked that of them. Like, have you guys ever heard of people who are like, sometimes like Christian colleges have done this, like there's a no dating policy, or you go on a missions trip and it's like, we don't allow people to date on this. Or I know a couple friends of mine went to a year-long worship school and they absolutely couldn't date there. And I understand kind of some of the sentiment behind that. But then also, like, when you put it in a church context or whatever, I'm kind of like, what better place to like meet people than in something, you know? Now you're going to just turn them loose and be like, anyway, so we don't want you to meet them at church, so why don't you just go rogue and whatever? So I don't know. I feel like I have mixed feelings. How about you guys?
I think that's a horrible idea. Yeah. I think there's a good...
Tell us how you feel.
Yeah, I think what you brought up was a great point. If you're in, especially if you're on a mission trip, you're telling me that there are two dedicated Christians that have gone out of their normal life to go and serve a cause bigger than themselves. But hey, marriage is a horrible thought process right now. Like, don't start dating. I think that's a bad idea. I think Christian communities should encourage dating and relationships. But on top of that, there is a very long track record of when you just start trying to add rules. There's a really good quote that I like called "Rules without reason leads to rebellion." And I think when you start trying to add rules of like, you can't date, you can't, you know, you can't be around each other, you can't do this, you never actually stop it. You just encourage people to hide it. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, you go to those places where there's a lot of no dating while you're in this Bible college, if you start to uncover that and you start to look behind that, I think you're going to find a lot of worse things besides dating, mm-hmm. because the only way they can be in relationships is in the dark. And that in Christian relationships, that's not where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Though I will say there might be a little reactionary thing of like, okay, we supported you to go on this missions trip and you're supposed to be leading Bible clubs and you're just staring in each other's eyes. I mean,
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was going to say, at least in my experience, when I worked at a Christian camp, there was a rule where you could go on dates. Like if you met a counselor, if you met, you know, like if you're on staff. So if you and another counselor were like, ooh, okay. Or somebody else on staff and you were interested.
Ooh, okay.
You could go for it, but you had to speak to the staff, like the head staff first and say, I'm interested in so-and-so. May I take them on a date? And they would just kind of ask you questions about where your head is at. What is your intentions with her? So then that way it was more intentional. They just wanted to make sure that at the end of the day, you're here to serve at camp. You're here to serve the Lord. And your main intention should not be thinking about that girl or that guy the entire summer when you're supposed to be, you know, leading the group of kids that you're with or whatever it is that your job was at camp, you know. So I think in that term, it's kind of nice because I think it puts you in the headspace of I'm here to serve the Lord, not to try to find my spouse right here and now. Now, if you find a person and it ends up working out, awesome. Like, we do love camp relationships, but they're like, that comes secondary to the work that you're here to do. Like, we're paying you and we're also exhorting you to lead, mm-hmm. not to just be thinking about and mooning over this girl or boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, sometimes I look at people and think, what is wrong with you? Just why would you...
I do that for a number of reasons.
Well, yeah,
Bill,
I do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think, accountability, you're remembering why you came there. And the accountability, we do need to do that to honor God. But sometimes it's like, really? You're come on. live in the real world here for a little bit. You know, God mm-hmm. brought these people here. So if there's a connection, yeah, let's do it right. Let's do it wise. But what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. I also think...
That's very theological, I think.
That was yeah. very...
What's wrong with
that? I also think that kind of per what Georgia was saying at the beginning, we also need to be careful in being having integrity in this to not use the I'm on a break as an excuse yeah. for just not being willing to
right.
be honest about
not having the courage
what
are
yeah
on,
what yeah. we feel about this person in particular or whatever. You know, it's like, well, I'm on a break from you but not from everyone else necessarily.
I know? Will say I do think that the excuses that men and women use in the Christian sphere are very obvious. And I think women, we say, I'm not looking for a relationship right now. I'm not in that season. And then I think men say, I've been called to singleness.
Wow. I haven't heard a lot of guys say that. Just
I have.
Okay.
I have heard lots of men who have said, I'm breaking up with you because I actually think I'm called to singleness, or no, I actually think I'm called to singleness, and then they find their bae later on. I'm not saying this is for everyone, but I also think that in the same vein, women yeah. do that too, where they say, oh, I'm not looking for a relationship with you. That's what we mean,
yeah.
you know?
I got dumped by a guy who actually said that he felt he had the gift of singleness, and he used that as the reason to dump me. But then it was a little bit vindicating because then he came back around some months later and was like, anyway, psych, I don't think I have the gift of singleness. Do you want to date again?
Bro, you just got to move.
No, literally, that guy's got to move on. Wow.
So I just
That's
when
that
you
look
great.
At and go, what is wrong with you? Yeah.
Well, we could only hope.
But I think you bring up a good point, which is a lot of people try to make excuses about what is going on in their life because they feel guilty about it. And it's not something to feel guilty about. It's something to be forthright about. And so a lot of people, like George has already mentioned it, they use seasons. I'm just in a single season right now. God's really guarding my heart. It's like, no, you're just single and it's okay. You don't have to try to use all this Christian needs to disguise it, because that's what Christians have been doing for such a long time, because we've just gotten scared and so we've retreated and so we've changed the words. Now Christians can't even date anymore because dating means you have to have sex before marriage. No, it doesn't. Dating means what it's always meant. And trying to call it courtship, trying to call it intentional friendship, trying to call it these seven other different words, that doesn't change anything about what the relationship status is. You're dating and then you're going to get engaged and then you get married. Treat it like it is. Talk through what's right and what's wrong and don't change the words and don't back off of it.
Yeah.
So it's not a conscious coupling.
Right. Though I will, to clarify, Goodbye. We will say that hopefully your church isn't saying that dating means you have to have sex before marriage. We know that Netflix says that, but we want to make sure that we're not saying like the general cultural consensus within the church is that. So just clarifying on that. I do think though, and I want to just briefly comment on this, what are some good reasons to take a break from dating? Because I think there are some people that absolutely need to take a pause, whether they've been dating, they just need to maybe re-pivot, look at something else. Kind of what would you say, what would be your advice to those folks?
Yeah, I definitely think that if you're questioning your worth and the worth that the Lord has placed over you, so the truths that he's placed over you, I think if it causes you to sin or to stumble, so if you are someone who struggles with, you know, lust or masturbation or porn, and if it leads you to do that, then maybe take a step back so you can speak with a mentor, take that to the Lord. And then I also think if it takes up all of your headspace, if it is the only thing you are talking about and it's the only thing that is intriguing you in the moment, I think it's time to take a step back and reassess what are the things in your life that bring you joy and how are you pursuing the Lord above all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I mean, I actually am thinking of someone I know and have known who is one of those chronic daters, like can't not be in a relationship. And there have been many times where I've counseled her, like, you need to just stop. You need to pause. You need to find yourself apart from dating a guy and figure out what that looks like, because it really, it rises to a position of an idolatrous kind of relationship. And I think that's a great reason to lean into your community and understand who God says you are, because you can't bring, you have to be a healthy person to go into a relationship. Right. You can't assume that by being in a relationship, you're going to build up health apart from that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely echo what both of you guys have just said, but also what you just said, you have to be a good person to be in a good relationship. A lot of people, especially coming out of high school, and it's not their fault, they're young, but they're too self-centered. Everything revolves around them. And to try to even fathom having another person in your thought process, putting their needs before your own, like, that's something that takes time. And so if you can get married young, yeah, great. Marriage is going to be a great way to break that off of you. But for a lot of people that aren't married, I think a great reason to take a break is to break off immaturity, is to go through some life lessons, is to do relationship with people in a normal friendship way, and try to think about how that person would feel. Try to think about their needs ahead of your own, which is what we're called to do as Christians anyways. If you're going to get into a marriage, you need to love your wife or your husband as Christ loved the church. And Christ loved the church so much more than he loved himself that he went to a cross for us. So you don't just get this selfless love and this self-awareness by taking like a 2-week break or a 3-month break. It takes intentionality, it takes work, and it takes feedback from your friends. And if you can do that, you can go into a relationship with a lot more confidence, knowing that you're bringing something that's going to improve the relationship. But on top of that, you shouldn't try to improve yourself or try to become more thoughtful so that you can be in a relationship, because self-improvement for the purpose of being in a relationship is called manipulation. You should try to become a better person than who you were. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then when you go back into the relationship scene, you're not just bringing 6 months of not dating. You're not just bringing, you know, maybe a little bit of luck. You're actually bringing a better proposition and a better person to the table. And when you can do that, the relationship's automatically going to be better because you yourself have improved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I usually don't struggle to improve myself too much. I try to improve the other person. That's usually where I put all my effort.
I would have to agree with Georgia too, where you talked about your worth. Yeah. And I think that's really where God, we need to listen, where he steps in and says, no, your worth is in me. You don't have to have this other person to be worthwhile. You find your worth in me. Yeah. And out of that, then you grow to the image of Christ. I think that's what I needed to focus on in that break, was finding out where my real worth is. It's not that I had a girlfriend. It was more in that God loves me, mm-hmm. and God's invested. So I need to respond to that in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, very good. You guys, great thoughts. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
As he uses me, I am called to him according to his purpose. Let me see what God wants to hear. There's one thing that God wants to hear. My heart is open, always truthful.
Well, hey, everyone. Our culture segment today is we're bringing some people back, some people that we have introduced you to recently. We have got Tavares and Safa Gray here, but this time they're in person, so we're excited about it. Hey, welcome, you two.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes. Good to have you. We thought, you know, it's August. To get you out of Florida in August may not be too hard, so we're like, okay, come on out to Colorado. So, well, this is really our privilege. For those of you who follow the show and who have been listening recently, you will know that the Grays, their social media content creators, authors, speakers. In fact, they run godlydating101.com, which we always link to when we talk to them and beyond. In fact, have a book by that title as well. And so, but we love being in their space because they're kind of just walking out relationship stuff and helping others along the way to do relationships in a way that honors God. And hello, that's what we're trying to do at the Boundless Show. So we always like to get friends and family to join us in that journey and kind of give some of their wisdom. So I want to, we thought we'd just have a fun day today of just asking you guys some random questions. Are you ready for that?
We'll see.
And we'll see. If I get crazy, I'll find some weird way to like pit you against each other or tell tales on each other. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I just make stuff up sometimes. So, but you guys are very, very present on social media. It's been a great avenue for you, especially to connect with younger adults who are just straight up asking questions. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to give so much advice and whatnot. What would you say is a common question or just one of the ones that comes up consistently lately on social media for you about whether it's about relationships or what? Just where are young adults in your mind and what you're seeing in the struggle of just how to walk this out?
I'd say one question, mainly from the women. They're like, where are all the godly men?
Mm-hmm.
And the men are just saying, you see? You see, I know I shouldn't have led with that one. And then the men are asking something similar, but we know it's more than enough women for them to choose from. But I think a huge issue with that is a lot of times people have unrealistic expectations, whereas they think a godly man means he's supposed to be the pastor of the church. And it's like, maybe he just loves God and he attends church, you know? And it's, we don't check people's fruit enough. We just need someone with the limelight. We want someone with an audience, someone with a platform. And then we start minimizing those in the church who are trying. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of godly men, I believe, in the church, but our idea of what a godly man is some perfect standard that no one can reach other than God himself, you know? Yeah. So I think a lot of times men get overlooked because they haven't reached some unattainable standard. And I think a lot of men, they're trying to figure out, well, I can't find the wife for me. But a lot of times they're trying to choose a woman who's as worldly as possible, but attends every church service. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it really is. You want the, I can't say any names, but you want the supermodel and as carnal and worldly, you want her to do all kind of ungodly things, but you still want her to say she's a Christian. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times we just have expectations and standards that we're believing because of what society is telling us rather than what the Word of God is telling us.
Yeah. Or the really aspirational ones. In fact, I said, it's so funny you mentioned the supermodel thing because in my book, The Dating Manifesto, I actually talked about guys wanting a supermodel who also happens to write Bible studies because she just got into that somehow, you know? And I'm like, but it's definitely got to be both with priority on the supermodel. So, but Safa, to that point, talk a little bit about what Tavares said in the context of women and unrealistic expectations, like how we say we set guys on a pedestal and we think that we're looking. And I always say it's because there are too many outliers available to us. So you can podcast anyone. I mean, women are looking at these amazing preachers, all this stuff, and they're like, well, that's what I'm going to marry. But these dudes are like in their 60s and 70s, and it took them a while to get there. Okay.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, especially being a married woman who actually knows hopefully what she's talking about. What would be your encouragement to the women as far as like, have high standards, have values, but how do you temper that?
Yeah, I definitely think it's important to have standards, for sure. But don't limit God to those standards, especially if they're not biblical. Mm-hmm. I think we like to put God in a box a lot. And I'll talk about my personal story before Tavares and I got married. I had my checklist, too. I mean, what girl doesn't, you know? I grew up in church, and I know what I want biblically, and I also know what I want physically. I know I want a guy who's this, that, X, Y, Z, and the next. I want a guy who is established, older than me. You know, he has already completed X, Y, Z. He's very respectful. You know, I just had, you know, this perfect guy in my mind. And when I met Tavares, yes, he checked off a lot of that off of my list, but some of it was missing, you know? It's the truth. He was a very handsome guy, but like you said, a lot of those guys are in their 60s. It took them a while to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of had to pray about it and be like, God, am I being unrealistic? Am I putting you in a box based off of what? Because these are what I expect for you to have for me for a man, not what you necessarily expect. Mm-hmm. And I had to come off my high horse and say, okay, yes, he meets all the biblical guidelines, the biblical standards. We have the same beliefs. We're not unequally yoked. You know, we want the same things biblically. But as far as like him being older than me, which he's not. And also just other little unrealistic things I had to realize, and then things that, of course, I wanted. I had to realize that does take time. And am I willing to live with, if certain things don't change about him, am I willing to live with this? And I was. Mm-hmm. I was, because they weren't biblical. They were just what I wanted, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah. I would just say, don't put God in a box. Don't limit him. There are, I hear a lot of women say there are not many guys, and there are no guys in the church. And I think that's a bit extreme. There are.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
A lot of women say that. And while I agree, we have a lot more carnal dudes than we have women, it seems. But I think a lot of women saying there are no guys in the church is because they want the guy to be that bad boy, that street dude, that mm-hmm. that tough macho man. And it's like, well, I can't do all of that and act like Christ. Mm-hmm. That's not possible for me to be as worldly as possible, but come speak in tongues on Sunday. It's just like, let's just pick a side. What side of the fence are we going to be on? You know, yeah. So it really boils down to the unrealistic expectations, yeah. because like you said, you'll see someone at this level spiritually and you're like, well, I'm not going to date a guy unless he's there. That guy has been struggling for 30 years. He finally figured it out when he became a pastor, you know? And if we tell ourselves there are no options, we're telling ourselves we're belittling God's standard for marriage, or God's purpose of marriage. Eve was given as a helper. She made Adam's job easier. So you're supposed to help the person you're marrying become who God has called them to be. Not they're already there and now they're just adding, you know, a handbag to their side. Like, yeah. No, you're supposed to help each other be more like Christ. And I think marriage, relationships in general, but marriage helps, you know, chisel out those weak areas and allows you to get that reflection, whereas you can get a reality check on, okay, I'm wrong here, I need to grow. And that's what a marriage does. So it's not a matter of finding the perfect person, but someone who sees you the way God does, that they walk with you to get to that point.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it does go both ways too. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of women who take on guys as like projects, because mm-hmm. they think, well, you know, I'm going to fix him, I'm going to change him, whatever. But I always say, ladies, you know, yeah, you don't need to marry a theologian. There are amazing godly accountants and yeah. plumbers and whatever. You know, you find a guy who's following after the Lord and who's plugged into his church and has good men in his life and hearing good wisdom. But don't sit around and wait. If you're the one, ladies, who is having to initiate every spiritual conversation, yeah, every prayer, every, you know, then you need to kind of take a harder look. But again, you know, temper that, because there are biblical standards. You know, Safa right. said this. There are things. And I think it would do us all well to know what those are. And so maybe you do need to get a pastor or some mentors or elders around you to help you figure out mm-hmm. what is most important. But then you let the other stuff go and you see what, as you walk through life, what you're going to grow in. And you do that together. I think right. that's so good. So, okay. So to that point, you're now both married to each other, by the way. I said that weird, like you're both married and here you are. So I want to know, what would you say was the biggest misconception you had about marriage, going into marriage, that you had to learn about each other, or you had to kind of reconcile, as far as like, marriage is going to do this for me, or marriage is going to be this way, or my husband's going to be this, or she's going to be this? What would you say was something that you had to kind of give over to the Lord in terms of expectations?
I would say probably the biggest misconception I had about marriage was that, you know, it was a lot of about this fairy tale, you know, kind of like, we're in love, lovey-dovey, romantic a lot of the time. And, you know, he's buying me flowers every day and, you know, giving me all these back
Wait,
massages.
He doesn't do that? What's that?
I mean, he does.
Oh, yeah, does. Okay. Okay.
But it was a lot
he
about...
He will today, I can tell you that.
It was a lot about what I could get out of it, you know? Because mm-hmm. I think growing up in a... And I love my church, but they didn't really talk a lot about marriage, even though a lot of them were married for years, but that was just nothing that they really discussed. And so I relied a lot on learning about marriage from society. I saw it on, you know, at the time social media wasn't that big, but like, you know, in the media and things like that. And it just seemed like this fairy tale lifestyle. Even when you hear Disney princesses and things mm-hmm. like that, it's just this guy comes and whisks you off to your feet and you live happily ever after. And I mean, who doesn't want that? But that's not what God intended marriage to be. It's supposed to be about us growing together and serving him together. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be a representation of his love for the church. And so it was, I had to reconditioned my mind once we got married to realize it's not more so about me, but it's about serving another person. Mm-hmm. And so it's about rubbing his back. And it's about, you know, showering him with love and the things that he likes and stuff like that. It's not worried about like, oh, he's not doing this stuff for me. But as I do that for him, you know, that of course, it's kind of like a mirror. It makes him want to do that for me because he notices that I'm willing to serve him and I'm willing to, you know, do that's what God called us for, is we're here to serve each other. And I think that was my biggest misconception, just this fairy tale mindset of what marriage should look like.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, Tavares?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say I had marriage down pack. I surely did not. But I think I knew there would be a lot of conflict. There would be a lot of ups and downs. And I watch different families and my parents who've been married, I believe it's 34 years now. So I've seen a lot of what marriage entails. I guess the part that I never realized was how much I would have to deal with me. You know, I didn't realize like, oh, you know, well, if there's an argument, I could at least say, well, I'm mad because you did this, you know, but maybe she did nothing. And it's really me triggered by something that I've, you know, suppressed emotionally, or, you know, my own mindset of what a woman should be or what a wife, and I can't place my expectations on her if I've never verbalized it. I can't get frustrated over something she doesn't even know. So I think one thing that I really had to realize is that I'm responsible for making sure I'm doing my part to lead spiritually, making sure I'm doing my part, you know, to help with the children, making sure that I'm, you know, whatever boundaries need to be set up, I don't need to wait until she says something. I need to set it up. You know, it's like, it's so much that I didn't realize relies on me. And if I don't do it, then that just allows for the relationship to crumble, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just shows me that there was way more work that my parents are putting in than I realized. And, you know, a lot of times people didn't speak about relationships. So my parents, you know, they're very open, but I just didn't realize until I got in those shoes what it took, you know, to actually have your relationship work.
Yeah, that's good. And even that mindset, like the whole idea of, I'm just thinking of something my pastor said once, and I think I've said it here on the show before, where, you know, the women are getting ready to go to the fall women's retreat, and women are like, well, I don't know, I got to see if my husband's going to babysit the kids. And I remember him saying from the pulpit, husbands, you're not babysitting your own kids. This is called parenting. So you watch your own kids while the women go on this retreat, okay? And it is just funny. And that's, again, where I think, like, it's so great when dudes can kind of help one another figure that out and be like, oh, yeah, okay, we actually are husbands and fathers and we can do this. You know, it makes it a little aspirational. All right, so you guys run Godly Dating 101. You wrote a book titled Godly Dating 101. So I want to ask you, let's just give some good dating advice. Like, even as you know, I'm sure you, hopefully, I mean, especially now after today when Tavares buys you those flowers, you go on dates even as a married couple. What would you say? What are some just good principles? Let's start not with principles. Let's start with just good ways to date or things to do on a date that you think are going to get relational mileage for a couple that's trying to figure one another out. Is this person for me? Are we compatible? What does this look like? What are some conversations that should happen? What are just some good tactics to put in place so you're not going to movies for 10 years and then you're like, we haven't even gone anywhere and we're still single and this guy might not even marry me. So we need some good advice, practical, down and dirty tips.
Yeah. I think just be intentional about asking those important questions that affect marriage, finances, you know, how you're going to raise your kids, how many kids you want. I think that's an important one. Some people wait too long to have these conversations after you've already built up so much, I guess, interest and love for this person that it's so much harder to break away then. And then you compromise. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to either of you. So just having those conversations, like you said, you want it to be an intentional date. You don't want to just be watching movies and passing time. Dating is about getting to know each other. So having those conversations, I can't even remember the name of the cards, but we have some friends.
Yep.
Dear Young Married Couple, they built these cards. They're based out of California and they're a Christian couple, but they have these little cards that have questions on the front. Like, it's like a whole stack of them that you can ask. And they're intentional questions and questions that need to be addressed prior to marriage. And I think that's just so good. Finding something like that, you know, just to have those conversations. And then also not just having just, individual dating where you're just the two of you go out, but date in groups, see how they treat other people. you know, even if it's like a date with friends, or because you want to know how this person treats other people, how they treat their family, how they treat, because this is a long term thing. I think that's just important to kind of get to know that person. That's my piece of advice.
Hmm. Yeah, I was hoping I could have gone first because I wanted to say that. I think the real key is finding ways to communicate. I think people have been married 30, 40, 50 years and don't know how to communicate with one another. Mm-hmm. You know, they know how to argue. They know how to get their point across. That doesn't mean, you know, the person heard what you said. You know, actually, they heard what they heard, but it's not the same thing. You know, so I think when you're going out on these dates, you have to find ways to be intentional in getting, in communicating on deep things, you know. So that's obviously not happening in the movies. You know, if you guys are going on dinner dates, fine. But what are you talking about? Is it just, oh, my day was this? No, you have to go into, you know, deeper subjects. Because like Safa said, is those cards, you know, and I'm not here trying to endorse the cards or anything. But there were times we've gone over the questions on the cards. And I'm just like, okay, well, put this away. Let's talk about something boring like sports. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be in my feelings right now. Like, there's no need to be so emotionally involved. But I remember one time Safa told me, I don't feel like we're connected or we're emotionally connected. And I'm just like, I see you literally every day. I don't know how much more connected you really are trying to be, but you're overthinking it. We're connected enough. And I realized that she was saying, yeah, but you know, this could become a roommate situation if you're not mistaken. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of relationships go wrong. If you're talking about things they're passionate about and they could talk for hours, but the moment you talk about the Bible and they're bored or they're reluctant or they switch the subject, I think that's a huge red flag that if it's not addressed, you need to end that before you get into a relationship. But when it comes to being in relationships with someone, you want to make sure that the parts of you that actually matter, you are actually connected on. You can talk about it, you can be passionate about it, and you don't have to lose yourself. One piece of advice that I got from someone on our wedding day, they gave a toast and they were saying, God's goal is for you to be united, but you are still going to be two individuals. Mm. He's not trying to stop you from being yourself. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to come together as one, but he's not trying to stop you from being you or having your own interests. It just makes sure that those don't supersede coming together as a unit. Mm-hmm. You know, so my thing is make sure that you're intentional about the relationships that you're keeping. And it's not just, well, they look nice, our social media pictures and our aesthetic is cute. It's like, okay, but that's not a godly union, you know? And we want God to be pleased with our relationship. So we don't want to just do things that are solely based off our carnal desires, our fleshly desires, just looks and things that don't matter in the long run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So funny because you were saying like, Safa gave your answer and now I'm like, okay, dude, now you're getting into my answer. So no, actually my next question, because I was going to say, it's so funny. You just talked about the necessity of remaining two individuals, even mm-hmm. in marriage. And I think that's something that's so overlooked is, you know, because every rom-com just makes it all about like people just stare into one another's eyes mm-hmm. and people think, oh, now we're just together and we're going to be together forever. And they lose their own selves mm-hmm. and their own identity and the uniqueness that God has given them. And so I would love to have each of you kind of comment a little bit on what kind of, even in marriage, is just your thing. Like, how do you hang with friends? How do you find your own hobbies? How do you kind of serve in ways that are unique to you and your own giftedness? What does that look like? Because you guys like work together. You guys run, you know, run Godly Dating 101. So tell us a little bit about what it looks like to be Safa and what it looks like to be Tavares.
That's a hard one because I think that every time, you know, life is full of seasons, right? And I think every time something changes in our relationship, you know, another child is added to the family, I feel like I have to rediscover myself again once that child's a little bit older. So I think that's where I am. And I always try to remember, do not lose yourself, because it's so easy to do so. You know, when you're in a relationship, I remember when Tavares and I, and he always mentions this, but when we first started getting married, I was such a people pleaser. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. So if Tavares didn't like something, if I'll be singing in the house, I'm a singer. So I will sing to the top of the mountain. Like, and he was like, you were so loud. Like, can you like, and I was like, okay. And I would stop singing and I lost a piece of that. But now I'm like, listen, this is me. I love to sing. That's my hobby. Okay. So I'll sing in the shower. I'll sing. So just trying to keep that in mind. I sew sometimes now. What else do I do? I'm back on the praise team, which is big for me. Since my daughter's been born, we're back in ministry at our churches and at our church, I should say.
It's like, how many do you have?
Yes, and just love spending time with my family. That's a big one for me. As my parents are getting older, that's the hobby I'm in right now. Mm-hmm. They live a good distance, but the moment I get off work, like if I get a weekend to myself, I'm driving to 4 hours to South Florida to spend time with my sister and my parents, even if it's just to go out to eat or just hang out in the house or just to let them spend time with their grandkids, go to the beach or something. So that's where I am in my life. But just finding those things where you can do, and of course we do them together sometimes, but just finding things that, you know, we can do separately. And I think I'm still discovering that now as my daughter is, you know, older.
Yeah. But finding life-giving ways to make that happen.
Yeah.
That's great.
For sure.
To clear the air, I've never told Safa to stop singing. My issue is I'll say a random word and Safa will grab one word from that sentence and start singing a song. I don't know how she does it, but it's just like, could you do it in the other room? It's all I'm asking. I'm not telling her she doesn't have to sing. But, you know, so like I said, when it comes to the things that I do for myself, you know, I'm a simple guy. So I just eat and go to the gym. You know, I don't do much fun, but Safa has her membership now. So sometimes she comes along, you know, so I'll train her and then she'll do her own thing. But yeah, just that right now, nursing school. So I don't have much free time. Mm-hmm. My free time is my children, you know, so been very busy lately, but just embracing whatever season we're in. We know things change. It is what it is. And, you know, just trying to be present because it's easy to not want to lose yourself and then you lose everything else, you know? Yeah. So I'm just trying to embrace where we are.
True.
You know, just stay connected while I can and, you know, serve church, serve the family and whatever comes, just roll with the punches.
Yeah, that's great. And clearly, you know, she's flatlining if you're talking about sports too much. So
I mean,
you got to find someone to talk about that.
She has to pretend to care. She pretends to care. If she sees me shout, she'll shout and she has no idea what's on the TV. So it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she can just bring up a team and then she'll come up with a song about it.
Exactly.
So then it's the best of both worlds. So you're all good. So super fun, you guys. Okay. Well, we've got to let you go. These guys have to actually go back to Florida. So we can't just be talking all day, but we'll have to do this again. In the meantime, I want to make you aware of the fact that Godly Dating 101, the book that we've been talking about, we want to make it available to you this week at Boundless for a gift of any amount. So you know how it works. You just go to boundless.org. In fact, you can search 813. That's this week's episode. And you just click on the book cover. You give a gift to Boundless for the work that we're already doing. You're already part of our family. And we will send a copy of their book as our thank you to you. So you make that happen. And of course, hit us up in our DMs on social and elsewhere. You're going to see them there. And just give us a little comment. Drop us a comment about maybe what you learned about relationships and dating from this conversation. So in the meantime, you two, thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate the opportunity.
You speak your word, I feel it move my heart. Lord, I speak my prayer to heavens where you are. Release your power, redeem us here on earth. Where I've been in grief since birth, I am a born believer to this house of prayer, this house of prayer, living to receive you. You are faithful God, you are always there. Every door is open to those that seek your grace. Think there's a holy place for the faithful and broken. Praise and worship's in the air, in this house of prayer.
Well, folks, here we are finishing out the show, and we are opening up our inbox. And thanks to those of you who've sent in some questions lately. We appreciate it, and we're always looking for questions. So throw them in our DMs. You can email us at editor@boundless.org. Just make sure you let us know, and we will try our best to get it answered by one of our experts. So this week is no exception. We have got Jeff Johnston here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Lisa.
One of our special, fantastic analysts here at Focus on the Family, specializing in sexuality and gender issues in particular. And so today's question is going to be right up your alley, and I know you're going to give us some great wisdom. So
thanks.
Thanks.
It's good
advance.
To be here.
Wonderful. All right. Our listener is wondering, I have a few friends who identify as gay. What do I do when they ask if I support them? They know I believe what the Bible says about marriage. How can I show them that I love them without seeming like I'm trying to judge or shame them?
You know, Lisa, that's a good question. And it's a tough one, too, because we live in a culture where you can be canceled for what you believe. And I know people who have lost friendships over this basic question. And first of all, let me say that I love the listener's heart, that they have a heart for love for people. And honestly, what you do with any friend, you would do with a friend who identifies as gay. You would just love them. Spend time connecting with them, listening, asking questions, sharing about your own life. Buying them expensive gifts. Okay, I'm just kidding about that part. But just what you would do.
Hey, I'm not opposed.
Yeah. But just what you would do in a normal relationship. And then secondly, I like the fact that they said their friend identifies as gay, because this is a pretty important issue for me, because I struggled with that identity for a lot of years. And I realized this is not who I am. I'm not a gay man. I'm a man made in the image of God. And I think we want to view people that way, however they identify. We can still view them as male or female, made in God's image. And then lastly, I think because this is a concern of yours, you might want to bring up the issue. Say, I'm a little bit concerned because I have these beliefs about God, and I know you identify this way. And I believe there's a conflict here, so can we talk about it? So I think that might be a good thing to do. And part of that might even be, even before this, having a bigger conversation. Can we love someone that we disagree with? Because that seems to be a bottom line question in our culture today, that if you disagree with me, you can't be my friend. So you might want to have that conversation first and then say, specifically on this issue, you know, I value your friendship. I value you. And because I believe this way doesn't mean that I can't be your friend. I still want to be your friend. And if it's appropriate, you might talk about how we all fall short of God's design and how you've fallen short. You know, if there is a safe person to talk with, you might disclose some of your own struggles, but also show that God is love and show some experiences you've had with him where he has demonstrated his love to you. I think that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, that's good. It reminds me of a conversation you and I had with our friend Beckett Cook, who wrote A Change of Affection, and we've had him here on the show, when he talked about some Christians that he challenged by saying, well, tell me what you think about homosexuality, or what does your church teach about it? And they were very honest. And he said, I was just so impressed that, one, they actually had an answer, and two, they were willing to just tell me straight up instead of trying to get all weird and, you know, hedging and that kind of thing. So I think, like you said, leading with relationship, but being willing to say, hey, let's have the conversation is such a great start.
Yeah, you know, the older I've gotten, the more I've learned just to be direct and go in and ask the questions yourself. Ask the hard questions, talk about the difficult topics, because the elephant is there in the room, so you might as well bring it up to them.
Yeah, well, and this listener having a great heart and a posture of wanting to be that person who loves and doesn't want to be shaming in that is such a great place to start.
So, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for weighing in on this and giving some good wisdom, some good advice and direction for our listener to kind of get started. We really appreciate it.
So. Thanks, Lisa.
Well, folks, that is it again for this week's show. We're always here for you. I don't know how many of you need to catch up on some shows, because we are getting ready to head into our 25th anniversary month, and we're super excited about that. There's going to be some fun nostalgic stuff we're going to talk about, also some new stuff, and so you want to be ready for that. So go back and you can maybe listen to some of your favorite shows from the past, also a fun thing to do, and maybe tell us which ones have meant the most to you in that space as well. In the meantime, I will see you around next week. This is Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.
It can be challenging to inspire your community to see life the way God sees it. So what's the solution? Well, on June 15th, Focus on the Family is hosting Sea Life 24. And no matter where you are or who you are, you can be a part of this free event with speakers like Ben and Kirsten Watson and real stories about choosing life. Sea Life 24 will inspire you to translate your faith into action. Register today at sealife24.org.